What a thought that we sung about in this song. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. And I don't know if it's ever occurred to you, looking into the heavens, the same heavens that we see, we are told our Lord will appear one day. So as you go into the week ahead, enjoying God's creation, looking at the beautiful heavens, amongst other things, may we be reminded that our Savior will return. And our Savior and our God has lots to say to us. We thank Him that He speaks to us. Last month, we looked at Ruth and chapter 1. We asked ourselves the question, what will we do next time we come to a crossroads in our lives? And a crossroad may be a life-changing situation where we need to make a decision, sometimes big decisions. We could be faced with a severe temptation. What are we going to decide? Or perhaps a major crisis in our lives. Or indeed, it might be a big opportunity that presents itself. And it will have a big impact on our lives, the decision that we will make. And we said last time that when we reach a crossroads, let us decide for God. Not choose what will be most favorable to ourselves, but choose what will honor God most. We saw that there was a great famine in the land of Israel during the time of the judges, roughly about 1,400 to 1,000 years BC. And there was a family in Bethlehem, and they had reached a crossroad. Will they suffer with the people of God or go somewhere else where they may have food? And so they decided to leave the country, their home country, and to go to another country, Moab, a godless country where God was not served nor known. It is like a Christian family, say, living in the Bible Belt in America, to move to the country of France for a better life, where there is only about 1% Christians, or even worse, the country of Saudi Arabia, where there is only about 0.3% Christians and hardly any churches. Well, their decision to go to Moab was met with great tragedy. The father, Elimelech, dies. Then his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, marries two unbelievers, Moabite women. And then after 10 years, both of the two sons also die. Then Naomi, the mother, is left widowed and childless in a foreign country. She loses all her security and she has no one to look after her. Then Naomi heard that God had visited his people in Israel by giving them bread again. The famine was over. And so she decides to go back to her country and her people. And another crossroads presented itself, this time for Orpah and Ruth, her two daughters-in-law. They had to make decisions. Orpah turns back and goes home to her family. But then there was Ruth. Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law and forsake her own family and her own land, and adopt Naomi's people and her land. And she chooses her God instead of anything else. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to think about that since the last time. Will you choose God when you reach a crossroads. Question: what is there to be gained for those who choose God? Answer: God shows favor to those. Or to put it in the language of Ruth in chapter 2, verse 12, the God of Israel rewards those who take refuge under his wings. And it plays itself out in everyday life, in real time, if you will. In fact, the rest of the book of Ruth shows us the unfolding of God's care for his people in their everyday lives. But today we will only focus on chapter 2. So let us pray first and ask for God's help as we do so. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the book of Ruth and that you have given it to us as a gift, because in it you have much to say to us and to teach us. So as we sit and we listen, we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us in a way in which we know that you have spoken to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God is at work in the lives of ordinary Christians. God is at work behind the scenes. The invisible God is at work for the benefit of the lives of his children, to show them favor, accomplishing his good will and his perfect work in their lives. That is what the Bible teaches us. That is no exception when it comes to the book of Ruth. This chapter shows us what that looks like when God works in the lives, the everyday lives of his children. The passage reminds us of the fact that it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 1 and verse 22. There was a harvest. That means there was food. Bethlehem, the house of bread, was filled with bread again. God had ended a period of at least 10 years of famine by giving the land a harvest. It was especially during this time that Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem. Now, God had made a law in the land of Israel that stated that farmers were not to harvest the corners of their lands, and neither were they to pick up the grain that fell to the ground whilst busy harvesting. We read about that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 23, verse 22. That was in order for food to be left over for the poor and the strangers in the land. Naomi and Ruth were poor. Ruth was also a stranger. So children, can you see how this law of God would help them? They could have something to eat, but they had to work for it. They had to go out and pick up the grain that was left behind on the land after harvesting. It is called gleaning. They had to go and glean. So Ruth asks Naomi, please let me go into the fields and glean, in chapter 2 and verse 2. God's law was no guarantee that Ruth would find it easy in doing so. She was still dependent on the kindness and the goodwill of the landowner. And so Ruth asks, let me go and glean, and may I go and find favor wherever I go to glean. So she went. And then there's this very interesting phrase in verse 3, which we should not miss, we are told. Then she left, and she went out and gleaned in the field of reapers. And it so happened, that she came to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Ruth happened to come to the field that belonged to Boaz. She happened to come, or some translations put it, as it turned out. The Hebrew makes it even sound more like a coincidence. It says, and her chance chanced on a piece of land belonging to Boaz. It sounds like she ends up there by accident and by chance. Actually, it is the exact opposite. Her choice of field was not an accident. Neither was it her good fortune that she ended up on Boaz's field. Proverbs 16 verse 33 teaches us very clearly, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is of the Lord. Even the way the dice falls is determined by God. Therefore, the fact that Ruth ended up in Boaz's field is because of the unseen hand of God that guided her there. Children, notice the hand of God as the story develops. Boaz's name has been mentioned. Who is he? We are told a number of things about him. We've already been told that he is a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. In verse 1, we are also told that he was a very rich man, a man of great wealth, a man with land and with servants. And then we are told that he arrived on the scene. And the writer is using the words, now behold, in verse 4, almost as if it was unexpectedly. And what follows shows us the character of this man. He arrives on the scene and he greets the workers. The Lord be with you. Isn't that amazing? Has your boss ever told that to you? There's hardly anything more gracious to say to anyone. May God be with you. May you be aware of the presence of God this day. Surely, this man must be a Christian. So Boaz happens to arrive on the scene at the time that Ruth was there. And he notices her. And he wants to know who she is. His foreman tells him, this is the Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the land of Moab. And then Boaz shows unexpected kindness also to Ruth. Notice verses 8 and 9. So Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women and go after them. And have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Ruth went off depending on the presence of God. May I go somewhere where I will find favor? And what does God do? He shows favor to her in the kindness of his servant Boaz. Listen, he says to her, don't go and reap anywhere else. Stay here with my woman. I have instructed my young men also not to harass you, take advantage of you, or bother you. And when you are thirsty, go and help yourself to something to drink. He even says to her, my daughter. He feels for this stranger. Like a loving father, he offers this foreigner his protection and his resources. And it completely amazes Ruth. It overwhelms her. She falls to the ground. She's asking him, "Why is it that you showed to me such favor, a foreigner?" Verse 10. He begins to explain to her why it is that he is so gracious to her in verses 11 and 12. She is the woman that everybody in Bethlehem has been talking about. Her testimony has been going ahead of her. Reports that he heard emphasized details about her, and in particular the following. Her treatment of her mother-in-law after the death of her husband, staying with her, and then also coming back with her. She chose the unknown world of her mother-in-law, and she abandoned her mother and father and their home, her native land, and she cast in her lot with Naomi to go to a land that she did not know and a people she did not know. But then also, she had come under the wings of God for refuge. Boaz had heard about this. Do you remember back in chapter 1, Ruth's confession there in verse 16, saying to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following you. Wherever you will go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." What a profession of faith. Ruth, a pagan, unbeliever, now professes faith in God and attaches herself to Naomi and her people. Ruth had been converted. And Boaz had heard all about this. And now Ruth is showing us something of the characteristics of a converted and a saved Christian. What are those? She first thought of her mother-in-law rather than herself. She worked hard, not complaining about her lot in life. She sacrificed all that she had. She came to the point where she placed herself under the care of God. She decided for God. One preacher said that you can see who a Christian is by what they choose and how they live. We can see that in Ruth. Boaz simply responds to this woman who radically gave herself to God. The Lord repay you. The Lord give you a full reward. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to refuge. What gracious, kind, and comforting words that he spoke to her. But Boaz puts his money where his mouth is by continuing to show favor and care for Ruth. Because in verse 14 onwards, he even eats with her and with the other servants. And he gives her food enough to satisfy her with even some left over. And he arranges that they will let some of the grain fall to the ground during harvesting, that she would have even more to pick up. Why did Boaz show Ruth such generosity? Was it because she was young and he found her attractive? There's nothing about that in the text. Boaz was simply a good man who feared God, sent by God to show favor to this woman. The wings of God are not only comforting to Israelites, they also offer protection to despised Moabites. Let us not miss the invisible hand of God in the lives of ordinary Christians, at work accomplishing good, establishing the goodwill and good work of God. Ruth came to the point in her life where she took refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. In this, we have a beautiful but also a common biblical metaphor describing what people do when they put their trust in God. Children, imagine the picture of little chicks or ducklings running for refuge under the wings of their mother. That is a place of safety and comfort. Instinctively, they will turn to their mother, and she will gather them safely under her wings. The Bible gives us this metaphor to describe God's sheltering love, protection, and care with which He helps His people in their helplessness, weakness, and vulnerability. That is what the Psalms teach us. For example, in Psalm 36 and verse 7, we are told, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." And what about Psalm 57 verse 1? "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you I take refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction passes by." The results of a day's work in the field is nothing short of amazing. When Ruth measures the grain that she had collected, we are told in verse 17 it was an ephah. It is apparently the equivalent of a load that a donkey could carry. Some say it was worth pretty much about the food that a family would need for a month. Not surprisingly, the grain that Ruth brought home excited conversation between her and Naomi, her mother-in-law. "Where in the world have you gone to glean today? And for who did you work?" "The man's name that I work for is Boaz." And when Naomi learned that Ruth had met up with Boaz, the sun rose again in her life. "He was a near relative of ours," she said. "God has been gracious to the deceased husband and her sons by sending us a potential kinsman redeemer into our lives. Next time, we will learn more about this kinsman redeemer." But let us, in closing, make a few points of application. Firstly, think of what Naomi had gone through. She lost her husband and both her sons. And think of what Ruth had gone through. She lost her husband, and she gave up her country and her people. She emigrated. Naomi left full, and she came back empty. Ruth arrived with her, a stranger and poor. These women were broken, needy, and vulnerable. How would you counsel them? How will you counsel people who are in situations like this? Will you point them to the Lord God to take refuge in Him in the first instance? Or will your thoughts go to the many pseudo-saviors that we find in our society and even in Christian circles today? Boaz commended Ruth for taking refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. Little by little, through everyday life, the hand of God was at work in their lives. Naomi and Ruth had nothing to eat. God leads them to Bethlehem in the time of the barley harvest. So Ruth does the right thing, and she goes to work via the law of God that He had established. She goes to glean grain, led by God to to end up in the field of Boaz. He happens to arrive there on the day that she is there and happens to notice her. Her Christian testimony goes ahead of her and reaches the ears of Boaz. God raises up Boaz, a God-fearing man, and he comes out of his way to provide for her needs, little by little. Does it encourage you? Little things can have a big impact. Stuart Olliott tells the story about the Titanic. I'm sure you're familiar with the Titanic. It was a massive ship early in 1919 or 1912. It set off on its maiden voyage, and its designer thought it was unsinkable. And it went down, and hundreds of lives were lost. Why did many people die? The ship hit an iceberg. Why did it hit an iceberg? Did they not see the iceberg? Yes, they saw the iceberg, but they saw it too late. Why did they see it too late? Did they not have binoculars to spot the iceberg? Yes, there were binoculars, but it was locked away in the cupboard. Why was it locked away in the cupboard? The keys were lost. That is it. The keys were missing. Something small as a key, and the ship hit the iceberg. Can you see? God can use little things, everyday life things, to bring about His purposes and even His deliverance and provision for those who come under His wings. Coming for refuge under the wings of God is the best place to be. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 63 and verse 7. For you have been my help, Lord, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. That is the place where God shows His providence, His sovereignty, and His care for His people. What more can we need? What more can we possibly want? Have you placed yourself under the wings of God? In this life, there will be bereavement, loss, immigration, poverty, uncertainty, conflict, physical and spiritual danger, evil and demonic forces, anxiety, guilt, loneliness, alienation, and sometimes emptiness and hopelessness, even with many tears shed. When a chicken, a little chick, is in danger, it runs to its mother for shelter under her wings. When it is tired and exhausted, that is where they find rest and comfort. Similarly, Christians run instinctively to the Lord for shelter. Where are you running to? Children, remember, God is a place of safety. For the Bible tells us, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. For God Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Can a woman forget her nursing child, God asks, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will never forget you, says the Lord. Isaiah 49 verse 15. Do you know that God wants to gather you under His wings? That is what the Lord Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her little chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. How many times have I been wanting to gather you under my wings, to give you shelter and comfort, refuge and safety, salvation in this life and for the life to come. How often, even to the point of shedding blood, my own blood, to the point of my own death, in order that you may escape death and be given a seat of eternal life in the kingdom of God, where one day the world will see people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, and everyone else who have come for refuge under the wings of God. Apparently, not many people were willing. Even to this day, still not willing. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is willing. The Bible tells us so. At one time, the Lord Jesus was walking the streets of Jerusalem, and somebody came asking him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered, "Make every effort to trust in me, for many people will want to do it when it is too late. The day will come when people will desire to come under the wings of God for refuge, under the wings of Jesus Christ, and it will be too late. But now, right now, is not too late. Let us avoid the bitter disappointment of waiting until we have run out of time. The fact remains, under the wings of God, there is love, protection, and care. And He is more than willing to take us under His wings. If you have already come under the wings of God, stay under His wings. There is no wisdom now to go out recklessly and even mindlessly, wandering away far from God. Stay near to your Savior, just like Ruth did. For in Him, as the song says, we are more than conquerors.